As we're, again, I have to shift gears. I'm a little tired this morning, so I'm fine. Sometimes, guys, don't you feel you have trouble shifting gears from one to the next? I felt like my clutch just kind of stuck for a moment. We're continuing our sermon series on getting in character. And I really enjoyed and appreciated what Pastor Barry did last week, bringing all the vitamin bottles and all the supplements, because that's what we're talking about. This series is about supplements to our faith. It's putting on character qualities, adding them, supplementing them to our faith. You know, you take physical supplements to boost your physical health. You know, you take intellectual supplements. You know, for those of you, you know, you graduated, but then you get into the work world, and all of a sudden, you know, your boss is wanting to send you to another course. They're wanting to supplement, you know, your knowledge, your skills, your abilities. Peter, in that passage in 2 Peter 1, says we're to supplement, we're to add to our faith certain qualities of character. And I don't think that the list that Peter wrote there is meant to be exhaustive, because there's more character qualities we see within the scriptures than just the ones that Peter puts there. But we add to our faith qualities of character, because if we don't, there's a warning Peter gave. Those who fail to add these things, add character qualities to their faith, will be weak and ineffective. Peter actually goes and calls them short-sighted and blind. He's kind of blunt. I actually kind of like Peter. He's just blunt. We're short-sighted and blind if we don't add to our faith, because in a way we're just really actually selfish. If we have the mentality that says, well, I've accepted Jesus as my Savior, I'm in, I'm okay now, I get to go to heaven, woohoo, and yet are not also concerned about our neighbor, we've completely missed what Jesus' teaching also emphasized. Love God and love our neighbor as ourself. And so there's qualities to add to our faith to make it effective, so that we both experience more of God and are better able to express the life that God has given us. And so far we've looked at three qualities of character: hope, love, and Pastor Barry last week, reliability or steadfastness. And we're looking at these qualities of character through characters, figures, historical people in the pages of Scripture. Not that character quality is the only quality they had, and not that you know, character quality can only be found in that person. It's, you know, we could look at a number of different people, but just picking one. And this week is a little bit, actually, for me, and maybe for you, a little bit of deja vu. This week is about wisdom, as you have seen on the slides. And when you think of wisdom, I mean, who else do you think of but Solomon? You know, it's just, you know, the wisdom of Solomon. It's, you know, pardon the pun, proverbial, right? Okay, it's a bad pun, I get that. But, you know, anyways, I had to throw it in there. See, back in July, we did a series on Lessons from Kings, which was really focused on authority, and trying to understand more of the authority that we have as followers of Jesus and how we're called by God to exercise that authority. This series is really focused on how do we develop, how do we build qualities of character into our lives. So we're going to look at the same person, we're going to look at the same topic, but there's going to be a different angle to it, I promise. Just in case you're getting a little bit concerned and, hey, wait a second, I think we've heard this one before. Not like the, you know, there's a joke. There's a new pastor who goes to a church and he preaches a sermon and everyone's like, wow, that was really good. Good, you know, great message, and so on and so forth. Second week, preaches the same message. Kind of the leadership's a little bit kind of wondering what's going on, but he's new. He just moved. Maybe it just kind of slipped his mind and all, you know, and so they just let it go. Third week, he preaches the exact same message. Finally, a couple of the leaders come to him after and say, Pastor, you've preached the same message now 3 weeks in a row. When are you going to get to the next one? And his answer? Well, when you start living out the first one, I'll move on to the next one. We're going to talk about wisdom. The lesson that Sunday was the difference between wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge is content. Knowledge is information. Knowledge makes you really good at Jeopardy. You know, it's trivia. Wisdom is different. Wisdom is the ability or capacity to rightly act on the knowledge you have in relationship with other people. And I really couldn't think of a good picture, so may the fourth be with you, Yoda. Right? Yoda is the wise one who's teaching, you know, Luke Skywalker and all the other Jedis on how to be a good Jedi Knight. And so he's known for his wisdom. But there is a slight reason why I picked Yoda. Fictional character, little Muppet, that's fine. In the movies, Yoda's concern is always for the betterment, for the benefit of everyone. Those who are wise are not seeking to be wise for their own benefit alone, but for theirs and others' benefit. Wisdom is good knowledge, right knowledge, truth, applied in relationship for the betterment, for the benefit of all. A fool, biblically, is someone who ignores what God has said, ignores the knowledge God has given, and chooses to live regardless of whether or not that's true. 90% of Canadians, over 90% of Canadians, state, it's consistent, every year survey is done, believe in God. 90% of Canadians believe in God. And every time I see it and go, yeah, and? If it doesn't show in how we live, what difference does it make whether or not we say we believe there is a God? Wise person acts on the knowledge they have in relationship. A fool says in his heart, as David said twice in the Psalms, there is no God. This morning is not going to be so much of looking into the wisdom of Solomon, though I was tempted to get into some of the Proverbs that I can quote from memory because of my days in Bible college. You know, better to live on the corner of a roof than with a quarrelsome wife. Not good advice to a husband, by the way. It's too late. It's a good advice when you're dating. So, those of you who are a little younger, not married, better to live on the corner of a roof. Instead, twice in Proverbs, and actually a third one, better to live in a desert than with a quarrelsome wife. And let's just add husband in there. It works both ways, doesn't it? Like an archer who wounds at random is a man who hires a fool or passerby. I'll let that one sit with you. This morning's not going to be looking into the wisdom of Solomon as much as this. Wouldn't most of us enjoy being a little more wise than we are right now? Wouldn't you like to be a little wiser? Have you had times where you go, I wish I knew then what I know now? You wish you had been wiser then, because maybe then you wouldn't have that regret in the past. Do you have a present circumstance? Do you have a present relationship where you would be going, man, I wish I knew whose car alarm was going off so I could talk to them, but how am I going to bring that up in the middle of a sermon? I wish I had wisdom to be able to do that. Because, you know, knowing my daughter, who's 3, she's done this in the past, it might be mine. Could be. If Hope's gotten anywhere near my keys, she loves that button. But do you have a relationship where you have, where you'd go, I wish I knew what to say. Or you have a situation, you have a decision to make, and you go, I wish I knew what to do. I wish I had greater wisdom to make that decision. Guarantee, in the future, if you or I don't continue to grow in wisdom, you're going to say in the future, I wish I knew now what I could have learned then. See, wisdom is something that it relates to life every day. We all, I think, wish to be a little wiser. How do we go about gaining wisdom? See, Jesus calls his followers to be wise, and he said it one time in a way that I find actually quite almost shocking. Jesus said some pretty, you know, interesting statements, and this is one. Jesus, when he was sending his disciples out two by two into the kingdom of Israel to preach the message of the kingdom of God, he sent them out, and one of the commands he gave them was this. Look, I am sending you out as sheep among wolves, so be as shrewd as snakes and as harmless as doves. Look at there's metaphor, analogy galore going on in this one command. So I'm not even dealing with the passage. There's enough in this verse. I'm sending you out. Look, you guys, I'm sending you out as sheep, as dumb, defenseless animals. Like, sheep are dumb. I'm sending you out amongst wolves, canny, hunting creatures who really like nothing more than an MLT. You know what an MLT is? Mutton, lettuce, and tomato. Right? Sheep eat wolves. Jesus is saying, I'm sending you out as sheep, harmless, dumb animals, into a dangerous world. So be as shrewd, wise as serpents, and as innocent or harmless as doves. Who in Jewish culture is described as a wise, cunning serpent? It stops, but just in case, I've got your license plate number. Who in Old Testament is described as a wise, cunning serpent? Or is given that as that's kind of a description of them? Oh, I hear whispers, someone be bold. Satan. Did Jesus just say to his disciples, look, guys, I want you to be as shrewd as the devil, but act in complete opposite to his goals? Be as shrewd. Satan is shrewd. He's cunning. He looks to steal, kill, and destroy. He looks to find whatever means, whatever avenue where he can find a crack and get his message in to your life. Jesus is saying to his disciples, look, I want you to be as wise. When you go out and spread the message, be wise, be careful in how you act. Don't be foolish, be wise, be shrewd. Look where you can get in. Look where you need to hold back. Be wise, be shrewd, be cunning, but be innocent. The character needs to be pure. God's kingdom, God cares about what we do and how we do it. It is not honoring to God ever to do his work in ways that are not his. And sometimes we make that mistake as the church. We go, yeah, I know we're doing the right thing. We're doing what God wants, but we are so unloving as how we go about it. It's not honoring to God in the slightest. We're to be as shrewd as serpents, but innocent as doves. And that takes, that's the wisdom. See, without wisdom, Jesus was saying, guys, you're not going to do well in spreading the good news of the kingdom and celebrating God's love and good news. Without wisdom, you're not going to do a good job. Because you're going to face, he talks about, you're going to face difficult situations. You're going to be taken before rulers. You're going to be taken before people, and you're going to have to give an account. You're going to have to, you're going to be, you know, an answer is going to be demanded of you. Jesus goes, the Spirit will give it, but you're going to need wisdom. You're going to wonder what to say. You're going to wonder what to do. What do you need? Wisdom. As followers of Jesus today, we're not going to be effective. We will not be effective in communicating, in expressing, even in experiencing our faith without wisdom. So how do we gain, attain, or grow in wisdom? Well, it's the same way Solomon got it. That's why I'm picking Solomon for this morning. He's a perfect example of how we gain wisdom. He's also the perfect example of what not to do when you've got it. But he's a perfect example of how we gain wisdom from God. Because we start like how Solomon started. We ask. In 1 Kings chapter 3, and I kind of dealt with this passage in July, so I'm not going to ask you to turn to it. I just want to read one section of it. Just Solomon's answer. Solomon, new king, he's visited by God in a dream. God says to him in a dream, what do you want? I'll give you anything you want. You're king, you know, here's my present, you know, kind of like my palace warming present to you. You name it, you've got it. Solomon, here's his answer. Oh Lord my God, you have made me king instead of my father David, but I am like a little child who doesn't know his way around. And here I am in the midst of your own chosen people, a nation so great and numerous they cannot be counted. Give me an understanding heart. Give me wisdom so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours? Solomon asks for wisdom because he knew he needed it. He faced a task so daunting to him, he knew that apart from the resources of God, apart from God's wisdom, he didn't have what it took to do it well. Can I ask us a question? Which is really rhetorical because I'm going to ask it anyways, I guess. What is your task? What is our task as the people of God? As followers of Jesus, what is our task? Someone be bold. Fast and prayer? Even more at the core, even more foundational. What is our task? Love God with all your heart. What's the second commandment? It's the same as the first. Love your neighbors yourself. Do you need wisdom to do that? We've been talking in Discipleship Sunday School, and we've all realized that we all have neighbors that we don't necessarily like. But Jesus calls us to love them. Do you know what we need? Wisdom. We need a number of other things as well, but we need wisdom. As the church, what is our commission? Oh, you're so quiet this morning. Making disciples. Love God, love others. There's our commandments. Make disciples. There's our commission. Are you starting to feel the need for wisdom yet? That's the core of who we are as people of God. If we're not about that, we need to go to God and get some things settled with Him. Or rather, He has some things He wants to settle within us. That's our mandate. That's our commandment. That's our commission. And that, I'm trying to stress it in this way because that is a task so daunting, you and I do not have what it takes to do it. And I hope that sinks in. If nothing else this morning, I hope that that thought that you do not have what it takes within you to love God and love your neighbor as yourself, and you don't have what it takes within you to make disciples. You don't have enough resources within you. You need God. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And part of what we need from God is wisdom. We need His wisdom. And that's Solomon knew his task was too daunting. We need to understand our task as the people of God is too daunting for our own human personal resources. We need wisdom from God. And here's the good news. James, the half-brother of Jesus, wrote these words. If you need wisdom, that'd be me. Ask our generous God, and He will give it to you, and He will not rebuke you for asking. So, men, you know, stereotypically, we don't like asking for directions. GPS was wonderfully made for us, wasn't it? God, you know, sometimes it's just as human beings, we're afraid to ask. We're afraid to ask for help for appearing weak or appearing like, well, you know, yeah, I think I probably should know this already, but, you know, my dad used to do this one to me. I'd sometimes come and ask him a question. He goes, yeah, between me and my father, we know everything. And you have to go ask, you know, my father. meaning grandpa. Well, guess what? Between you and your heavenly Father, you know everything. He just knows 99.999999% of it. But he says, ask. Now, this doesn't mean, though, that when we ask God for wisdom, he will give it into some kind of just spiritual moment of inspiration. It happens. I know it happens. When I was in Nigeria, teaching in a culture that was not mine, teaching a Bible college, teaching pastors, and I'm there teaching, and one of the courses I get, you know, saddled with was biblical ethics, which is fine, except one of the topics that needed to be addressed is, okay, Joan, you can appreciate this one. Husband has four wives, was a Muslim, becomes a Christian. His first wife remains Muslim. His second wife becomes a Christian. His third and fourth wife remain worshiping the traditional gods. How do you interact with that family into the church? What does a white guy not from Utah know about polygamy? And here I am asked to give instruction to pastors in a culture that's not mine. And I still remember it. I came back and I'm going, I was telling Bridge, I know God showed up, because I'm remembering verses from like the Pentateuch about wives and stuff from Moses. I couldn't remember where it was, but you know, the Holy Spirit brought it. And I'm like, wow, that sounds really smart. That's really wise. It wasn't me. Apart from one small thing that Solomon also did. See, Solomon asked for wisdom, but Solomon also studied. See, I worked for 3 weeks for that one class. But some of the stuff didn't come from that preparation. It came from years before of reading the scriptures, years before of studying. Solomon studied the scriptures. For those of you who are in Pastor Barry's, or for the next couple weeks, Griff's Sunday school class, Ecclesiastes, you would have read these words. I said to myself, look, this is Solomon speaking, I am wiser than any of the kings who ruled in Jerusalem before me. I have greater wisdom and knowledge than any of them. So I set out to learn everything from wisdom to madness and folly. But I learned firsthand that pursuing all this is like chasing after the wind. It's futile. The greater my wisdom, the greater the grief. To increase knowledge only. Knowledge only increases sorrow. There's a couple things in here. Solomon didn't rest on that gift. God goes, Solomon, I'm going to give you wisdom. Solomon didn't just go, thank you, God, and sit down. Solomon studied. Solomon pursued. Solomon, to me, is just great seeing, I mean, four kids saying, I mean, scriptures they memorized, already knowing where the books are, to be able to orient through this word from God. Are we continuing to pursue God's word? Are we continuing to study? See, Solomon, you know, there's all sorts of places. I mean, he collected, the book of Proverbs is not just what he wrote, but what he collected. He went and found wise sayings from others and went, yeah, that's smart. I'm going to add that to my collection. Solomon brought in counselors. Even though he's the wisest king who ever lived, he talks about, you know, good kings have counselors. Good kings get advice. You know, I don't care how smart, how wise you are. And I know that you are. But most of us, most of the time, when we think we have the perfect solution, we usually only have a good part of it at most. And if we are willing to listen to others, we find ways of making a good decision, a good path, a good process even better. Solomon was not too proud to ask for advice, even from people who he might have thought on the side weren't as wise as him. There's lots of places we can go to wisdom. But our approach to wisdom needs to be in the same manner as our approach to following Jesus. See, approach to wisdom starts with knowledge. It starts with content. It starts with information. It starts with just stuff. Sometimes in church world we call that head knowledge. You may have heard that phrase before. You know, he's got great head knowledge, but is it getting to his heart? See, the next step is heart knowledge. It's not just what you know, but it's what you actually affirm to be true, what you actually believe. But that's not far enough either. James also, you believe in God? Great. The demons believe that and shudder. To believe something to be true is not faith. It's head knowledge that becomes heart knowledge that, to use this analogy, further becomes hand knowledge. That we live out what we know to be true, what we've learned. Wisdom. You take what you've learned, you take what you know to be true, and you apply it in relationships. You can't say that you're wise if you don't live out what you know to be true. That's why Solomon was the wisest fool who ever lived. Because he had the greatest abundance of wisdom and yet chose knowingly to reject, to live differently than so much of what he wrote. He's the guy who wrote, it's better to live on the corner of a roof than with a quarrelsome wife. He had 700 wives. You'd think he would have learned at least, I don't know, statistically, what, 154? Knowledge only leads to sorrow. Because it's one of those things where, have you ever had one of those moments where you go, I knew better. I don't know why I did that. I know better than that. Knowledge only leads to sorrow. Knowledge applied in relationship, wisdom, is where life can be found. Knowledge only without living it out is just like saying I have faith but not living it out. Let me close with these two passages really quick. First, words of Jesus, well known, Matthew 7. See if you can finish this for me, and you don't have to do it in song. You may know the song. Jesus said, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is... Man, you're quiet. Wise builder. Builds his house on the rock where it's safe and secure. He's smart about it. Jesus said, anyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is... Wow, okay, here we go. It's good. It's foolish. These are Jesus' own words. And I stress that because ask this question of all of us, and myself included, and I have to go back to this myself often. When I hear from God, when I enter into His Word, when I read, when I hear sermons, when I, read the Scriptures, when I'm reading a book, am I reading it just to get information, or am I reading it to find something to apply? What is your plan? And I'm actually very literally serious about this when I ask this. What is your plan now, this moment? What is your plan to apply with what you've been hearing this morning? If you do not have a plan to apply what you are hearing this morning, James says this. And remember, he's talking about the message God has planted in your heart. And remember, it is a message to obey, not just to listen to. If you don't obey, you are only fooling yourself. For if you listen and don't obey, it is like looking at your face in a mirror but doing nothing to improve your appearance. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you keep looking steadily into God's perfect law, the law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Now let me be clear. I'm not saying you have to listen to me. I'm saying is, I believe firmly, no matter how well or poorly I or anyone else may preach on a Sunday morning, There is something that the Holy Spirit has for every single one who is here. What is your plan for pursuing it, holding on to it, and applying it? If you don't have a plan, Jesus says, we're fools. It's that blunt. And I'm being blunt this morning. Because here is my concern. And I say it not because just of you. It's something that I wrestle with a lot. I'm an information junkie. I'm a reader. I am. That's how I relax. I read like crazy. How much of what I read am I stopping and focusing? God, how am I supposed to apply this? How is this supposed to be making a difference? How is what you're saying here helping me to love you more and or love others more and or make disciples? If what we engage in as followers of God, when we engage in His Word, in whatever form that we come into contact with that, if it isn't given space to shape how we live, we are no different than Solomon, who had all the wisdom in the world, but didn't act on it. We're like that foolish builder that Jesus talked about, that we write children's songs about. The wise man built his house upon the rock. We're just the same, as James said. If we look into the Word, if we hear the voice of the Spirit, if we hear what God is saying to us and don't act on it, it's just the same as if you would have gotten up this morning, rolled out of bed, looked in the mirror, went, ugh, and then went on your way and shown up. See, I look around the room and none of you did that, did you? Because we see something that's true and go, we want to change that. We need to, you know, some of you don't need much sprucing up. Some of us do. But we react to what we see to be true. And we make a change when we look into the Word of God to add to our faith. Wisdom requires we have a plan to apply what we learn, so that less and less we find ourselves saying, I wish I knew then what I know now. We find ourselves less and less saying, oh, I wish I knew what to do, because we've asked for wisdom. We know to ask for wisdom, but we've also spent time pouring into His Word, pouring into the life He has given us, and allowing Him to shape us, so that when the situations come for us to act in love, we know what to do. We know what God's will is. It's to love Him. It's to love our neighbor as ourselves. It's to make disciples. Let's stand together as we close. Father God, would you make us wise? Would you give us your wisdom? And Father, I ask that already knowing that you, Lord, are already looking to answer that request. You're waiting for the request. It's not that you're stingy. It's, Father, we don't ask enough. Holy Spirit, would you teach us to ask? Would you teach us to humble ourselves, that we have a healthy opinion of ourselves, not too high or too low, but just settled in our identity that, Lord Jesus, we are of your family by your work, that, Father God, we are your children, loved by you and commissioned by you to do the work of your kingdom. Father, may we be wise builders. Father, for those that just maybe thinking about this way it's been a while since focusing on putting into practice what we've heard, Father, would you give them just a special grace this morning to learn or to learn again the way you have shaped them to hear your voice and to go about applying it in their lives. Father, would you pursue us through your Spirit, prompting us, guiding us, molding us, teaching us how to love you in greater and greater ways, and how to love our neighbors, even our enemies, as ourself. Lord Jesus, we recognize that until you return, you've given us that commission to make disciples, to go into the world preaching the gospel to all nations. Father, again, think of the team in the Dominican. Father, thank you for their work on our behalf for your glory. Father, would you help us to see our homes, our neighborhoods, our buildings, our workplaces, our communities, our associations as our mission field today and tomorrow and this week. Father, thank you for your promise that you will give us wisdom. Again, Father, make us wise. To your glory, Lord Jesus. Amen. Go in God's blessing this week and know that you are loved deeply, deeply by Him.